A reading from Exodus. The whole congregation of the Israelites complained against Moses and Aaron in the wilderness. The Israelites said to them, "If only we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt, when we sat by the flesh pots and ate our fill of bread. For you have brought us into this wilderness to kill this whole assembly with hunger." Then the Lord said to Moses, "I am going to rain down bread from heaven for you, and each day the people shall go out and gather enough for that day. In that way, I will test them, whether they will follow my instruction or not. On the sixth day, when they prepare what they bring in, it will be twice as much as they gather on other days." So Moses and Aaron said to all the Israelites, "In the evening you shall know that it was the Lord who brought you out of the land of Egypt, and in the morning you shall see the glory of the Lord, because he has heard your complaining against the Lord. For what are we that you complain against us?" And Moses said, "When the Lord gives you meat to eat in the evening and your fill of bread in the morning, because the Lord has heard the complaining that you utter against him, what are we? Your complaining is not against us, but against the Lord." Then Moses said to Aaron, "Say to the whole congregation of the Israelites, draw near to the Lord, for he has heard your complaining." And as Aaron spoke to the whole congregation of the Israelites, they looked toward the wilderness, and the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, "I have heard the complaining of the Israelites. Say to them, at twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall have your fill of bread. Then you shall know that I am the Lord your God." In the evening, quails came up and covered the camp. And in the morning, there was a layer of dew around the camp. When the layer of dew lifted, there on the surface of the wilderness was a fine, flaky substance, as fine as frost on the ground. When the Israelites saw it, they said to one another, "What is it?" For they did not know what it was. Moses said to them, "It is the bread that the Lord has given you to eat." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
God grant us serenity to accept the things that we cannot change, courage to change the things that we can, and the wisdom to know the difference. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. Okay, show of hands, how many of you have ever waited tables before in your lives? Good, good. Then maybe you're like me and you felt a little post-traumatic stress syndrome when you were hearing that reading from Exodus about the people waiting on the food and saying, "Oh my gosh, did you bring us here just to die? What is this?" And I felt like I was a waiter again all of a sudden, sitting in a when I was working in a restaurant, and you're watching the people, and you know that their food isn't there yet, and you're looking at them, and they're going towards panic. And we've all been the person sitting in at the table, wondering if we're going to be cared for. Sometimes you'll sit at that table, and no one shows up with like even a glass of water for like 3 minutes, and you're like, "What is this, Italy? Like, bring me something to drink right now," you know? But if you're a waiter, if you're someone who's worked serving other people in that capacity, and you see that look on their faces, you go, "Oh no, oh come on." And the reason it's scary, if you're a waiter, is, and if you've never waited tables, here's a secret you've got to know: waiters have no power over anything at all. Okay? So the waiter goes and talks to the table, and when they're talking to the person at the table, guess what they're told? The customer's always right, right? So they're talking to the people at the table, and they're going, yeah, that's right, totally, yes, mm-hmm, of course, oh, it was overdone last time, that's terrible, I hate to hear that. And then they go to the kitchen, and guess what happens? Do you think that the chef is ever wrong? Absolutely not. So if you're waiting tables and you go to the chef and you go, well, they didn't like the way this is, if you've ever been a waiter and you had to bring something back that wasn't the way it was supposed to be, you go back with more fear than Moses coming towards God, just shaking, okay? So when I hear this story of the people, and I do not mean to minimize their fear, they are out in the wilderness and they don't know what's going to happen, but what I think is fascinating about this story is we know God. And at this point, they have seen God provide again and again and again. These people know that God has been present in their lives. These are people who just, the story before that, they got water because Moses hit a rock with a stick and water came out to feed a whole country of people. And right before that, God parted the Red Sea so they could walk through it into a new freedom. And right before that, he visited plagues upon their enemies to free them from oppression. These are not people who are confused about if God is in their lives or not. And the moment they feel a little peckish, they go, wait a minute, did you bring us here to starve? Which is like they have a teenager sitting with them at the table going, oh my gosh, where are the breadsticks? And so it's scary to be a waiter. It's scary to have to be that person who is, you know what a waiter really is? It's a middleman. And nobody in America likes a middleman, right? We don't like middlemen. How do we eliminate the middleman? That's what the Protestant Reformation was all about. How do we eliminate the middleman? The priest was the middleman. This is a disaster. We can't do this. So we are all about figuring out, how can I make this a better situation, get rid of the middleman, make it simpler, make it easier? And the fact is, the waiter is a middleman. And the reality for Moses and Aaron throughout the time in the wilderness is they act as middlemen. They act as servants, servants to God. And yes, they're leaders of the people, but they are serving the people. Their job is to make sure the people have a good life, have a real life, have a life of freedom connected to God. They have to make sure that the people are fed. They have to make sure that the people have water. They have to make sure that the people have order and there's some sense of safety and security. And they have to make sure in all of this that the people in some way feel connected to the God who is making them who they are meant to be. And then they have to go to God and be like, I don't know what's up with these people. They're kind of crazy. I'm really sorry. No, I know that they remember the column of fire and the pillar of smoke and the parting of the Red Seas, but they're just kind of weird right now. Just the Moses and Aaron are working as these middlemen at all times, and it's not a fun job, or it doesn't feel like one. And that was the most anxious part for me about being a waiter. You even have the moment when they get the manna. And they have that beautiful thing when I used to work at fancy restaurants, so someone would get a dish and have no idea what was on the plate. There's even that moment in the story today, read it, where they get the bread and they go, well, what is this? I mean, it's right out of that space. And Moses has to be the one who says, this is food from God, which is how chefs would like you to introduce all of the food in the dish, really. But when I was able, after the first few months of waiting tables for a living, when I was able to realize I was probably not going to get fired, and when I was able to say, and in my case I was lucky to say I worked at a place that they made good food and they worked really hard to do good work, and I was able to say with integrity, the stuff on this menu is good and you're going to be taken care of. If you come to this restaurant, you are going to be okay. I believed that. And once I was able to settle into that reality, the work of serving people, the work of going and caring for people who were hungry and facilitating their nourishment and making sure that they were being cared for and know that they are special and know that they are valued, it became a joy. I'm not saying that it still wasn't work, but I found something holy in it. I had friends, for me it was a place in my life where I did this, but I had friends, and if you waited tables for more than a minute, you did too, who waited tables as a vocation. These are people who've waited tables for a living their entire lives. One of my favorite spots in Cincinnati, Ohio, is the Echo down on Edwards Road in Hyde Park Square. The women there, that's their vocation, many of them. And it's beautiful because they look forward to taking care of people. They've settled into their position as middle people, middle men and middle women, and they are saying, I am going to take care of people, and I'm going to deal with you, and I'm going to deal with the kitchen, and this is holy work, and I believe it. And we are people who want to eliminate that middleman or want to make things easier, but what I want us to recognize in this story, we like to see ourselves as Israel, and when we're talking throughout this time and looking at Exodus and saying, how is God making these people Israel? How is he making them the people of God? And then we're looking at ourselves and saying, how is God making us the people of God? But what's fascinating is, in this story, God wants the people to get to a place where they are like Moses. He wants the people to be cared for in such a way that they learn how to turn outwards and care for others, that they themselves become middlemen. We're not all here so we can all learn how to be like executive Christians, okay? We're not here so that we can learn how to be CEO people in the world. We're actually present in this community to learn how to be better middlemen. Seriously. We are here being formed by God so that we get to go out into the world and serve people and care for them. And like people sitting at a table wondering if the food is ever going to come, we have people out there in this world wondering if love and justice are real. We have people who are wondering if they can actually be nourished with a real unconditional love. We have people all around us who are wondering, is it really happening? Am I really being cared for? Is the nourishment of God, is unconditional love possible in this world? And we are given the privilege as Christians, we are given the privilege of serving others and helping them to know that they are valued, that they belong, that they can find nourishment, that they can find love and mercy and yes, even justice in this world. And we have the privilege of being middlemen for God too. We are being told in our baptismal vows and in what we say in our daily lives that we are called to pray for others. What is praying for others? You're a bunch of middlemen. You're going to God and saying, here are the needs of your people, God. Here is what is on their hearts. Help us. Help us. It's not that cool of a thing. I wish that it sounded cooler. I wish that I could tell you that if we follow God and if we do this work, that you'll all get to be like, you're all going to be, like I said, executive Christians. That your job is to go out there and be so awesome that everyone wants to be like you. And that you are called to a new level of success in this world so that when people see you prosper, they'll go, I want to prosper like that. No, you're all called to be waiters and waitresses. You are called to bring people's desires, people's needs, people's hopes, people's fears, people's pain and expectation, bring them and gather them and take them to God and give God their order. Tell God what this world needs. And when you see God working love and mercy in this world, you take the abundance of that love and mercy that pours out of God, pours out of your own heart, and you go out into the world and you give it to them. You give it to everyone you see. You wait on, you serve the people that are right in front of you. You nourish them with God's love. Like I said, once I realized that one, I wasn't getting fired anytime soon, and two, the place I worked had good stuff, the job got easier. It even became a joy to do it from time to time. So let me tell you this, God is not ever going to fire you from doing the work of love and mercy in this world. You're not getting fired, and you're probably not getting promoted out of it either, just for the record. This is your calling. This is your vocation. Your vocation to serve others, to care for, and to nourish, and to participate in God's nourishing love in this world. This is how we become who we are meant to be. You're not getting fired out of that. Your job is secure. Your identity in your baptism is indelible. It's part of you now. And the second part is, the thing you're serving is wonderful. The food is good. The nourishment of forgiveness and mercy in this world, this mean world, this hard world, you are serving up mercy, kindness, love, understanding, empathy. You are looking at people and treating them as humans instead of as commodities, instead of as enemies, instead of as obstacles. You are treating people as beloved sons and daughters of God in Jesus Christ. Every single person you meet, my brothers and sisters, the food is the best. The thing we serve this world with, the love that we have to share, is the best food. My prayer for us as we live into our identity as God's people, as we all become better middlemen, we all become better at recognizing our place as servants, and we move back and forth between that kitchen and that dining room, we do it with ease. We talk to God and we talk to our sisters and brothers, and we talk to God and we talk to our sisters and brothers. And you can say, well, do they really need us? I don't know if they need us or not, but it's the job God's given us to do. Whether or not God used Moses and Aaron to speak to the Israelites, he was going to care for them and they were going to be fed. But the reality we know is that there is something powerful about having someone get up and talk to you about it. And so there's something powerful about you living love into other people's lives and proclaiming blessing in people's lives and talking about forgiveness in people's lives. Will God heal and save these people without you? Sure, but he has hired you for the job anyway. Your vocation is to serve this world, the love of God, every day. And you're never fired. The food is the best. Amen.